The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Hi, Rolene, and before we get into it, I don't know if you heard the thread I was reading from Maryam Naim, whose Twitter handle is Maryam Posts.
I did hear it. I was actually going to comment. Very, very interesting. And I think it's very relevant to discuss the point that she brought up about the far right. You know, unfortunately, every country has its far right elements. And she raises an excellent point about the far right in Ukraine, not having any political currency, you know, really being used as an excuse by Russia in their bizarre motivation to denazify Ukraine. I mean, having said that, one should only look at the history of the Jewish community in Russia and how we've been treated by the Russians there. So she raised a very, very good point, because often, and especially since the war broke out between Russia and Ukraine, we have seen people saying, yes, but you know, Ukraine was a killing field for our people, and you know, we can't forget that. No, we can't, and we shouldn't forget that. It was a graveyard for our people. It was also part of the Soviet Union when that happened, and before that time. So you know, we've got to look at things in the bigger scheme of things, and in its full history.
I think it was very interesting to hear that perspective of somebody who is obviously born of immigrants, has grown up in that country and has experienced what's happened in that country, and has made such a passionate thread relating to the reality of what it's like on the ground, and the fact that Ukraine is a country that has been transforming itself. It has embraced people of other cultures. Yes, every country has far right. However, they don't have currency, like you so rightly said. And she then goes on to say, will Russia be taken on by the far right? Well, sorry, they're already fascists.
Well, we only have to look at what is happening and the atrocities that are being perpetrated against the Ukrainian people, and the treatment of Russians inside Russia who are protesting a war that they did not want. But also, we can't forget the fact that some 80 years, nearly after the end of the Holocaust, Ukraine has a Jewish president. They've had a Jewish prime minister. And since Ukraine has had this president, we've got proper memorials to the victims of the Holocaust, the Jewish victims of the Holocaust, because in the past, when Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union, Babi Yar and other mass graves where the victims were Jewish were just called Soviet victims of the Nazis. And Zelensky campaigned to have them recognized as the Jewish victims of the Nazis. So we can't forget that. And I know, yes, there are many out there who will say, but he didn't marry a Jew, and is he observant? And you know, we can have all those discussions, but we have to look at the fact that this is the Ukraine of 2022, where there were Chabad synagogues and communities and conference centers, and the town of Anatevka that we all know so well from Fiddler on the Roof, where the Cossacks of the time, at the orders of the Tsar of Russia, ordered those people out. You know, and this is based on the writings of Sholem Aleichem, who experienced this. We now have a situation where there is a Jewish president, unabashedly Jewish, saying just a few days ago that Ukraine will become the big Israel in the future as far as its security is concerned, and focused very, very much on his people and getting his country through this appalling, appalling war.
So today, sadly, is the 28th anniversary of the genocide in Rwanda that killed almost 1 million people. And I think it's very relevant to say that not all South Africans, because we've seen an uprise in mob violence against foreign nationals, not all South Africans are xenophobic. In fact, it's a minority. And it's the same in Russia. Not all Russians are fascists. But let's move on. There's been a major shakeup in the Israeli government. What are the latest developments?
That's the only description I can come up with. Well, we haven't had any major developments on that front. Today, the coalition is still holding. What we do now have is many discussions behind closed doors, especially in Prime Minister Bennett's Yamina HaKhadash party. That is where the MK, Idit Silman, defected from yesterday following a meeting with her. Bennett said, you know, she had been literally harassed by the coalition. Now, she gives her reason for defecting that she's fighting for the more right-leaning ideologies of her party. She sees it moving away from that, and that she will not tolerate the fact that our health minister says that he will allow chametz into the hospitals during Pesach. I mean, it always comes down to food, people. But I don't believe that's the reason. I think that she has been offered many incentives by the opposition to defect and to try and collapse the coalition. We've heard it from members of the opposition, Bezalel Smotrich, of the probably the more far right of all the parties, not Likud, saying that you know, it's only a matter of time before the opposition collapses the coalition, and rumors that he had actually written her resignation letter. We haven't had that confirmed, but now we also have members of Yamina HaKhadash either putting the pressure on Naftali Bennett, the chair of the party, to make sure that their demands are met, or saying that either they will defect, and even some saying that they're hoping that this coalition will work. But as you said yesterday so rightly, this is Israel's democracy. This is vibrant democracy, even it might be, though it might be driving us absolutely nuts at the moment, at its high-functioning best.
I always tend to chat too much when we have you on air, because I really enjoy our conversations and we don't get to all of our topics. So let's try get through it. Ukraine, Israel is mulling to give flak jackets, protective vests to Ukraine. We're back on the Ukraine subject. Let's cut it short. What do we know about Ukraine getting flak jackets and protective vests from Israel? Why is Israel not giving military aid? Is Israel going to have to choose between Ukraine and Russia? If so, what do you think Israel is going to do?
Well, let's work backwards. I think that we have seen much, much tougher language coming from Israel over the last couple of days, especially in light of the atrocities that we are seeing in the town of Bucha. Now, with regards to military aid, as I've been discussing on the show, Israel can't give military aid to Ukraine. We have to take into account our very, very precarious security situation, including the fact that we have the Russian military on our border in Syria, making sure that should we need to carry out offensive operations against the Iranians, who are very, very opportunistic through Syria and through Lebanon, that we have the space to do that. We do that in coordination with the Russians. Israel has been playing a part in trying to mediate some kind of peace between Russia and Ukraine that has been put on hold for the moment because of our security situation. However, we are seriously considering sending flak jackets and bulletproof vests to Ukraine to assist civilians and doctors purely for protective reasons.
Okay, so lastly and very importantly, the UN General Assembly is set to vote to kick Russia off the UNHRC, something you and I discussed earlier this week, how strange it was that this country's still on. What's motivated this vote, and how likely is it to pass?
Well, it does look likely to pass. It has been motivated by the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, as well as the United Kingdom, who've said that in light of the absolute atrocities that we're seeing, especially from Bucha, which has been wholesale slaughter, it's time for Russia to be removed from or suspended from the United Nations Human Rights Council. So that vote is going to happen sometime today. We are going to keep an eye on it. I will give results of that tomorrow morning. But Russia's place on the UNHRC has been called farcical.
Rolene, thank you so much for joining us. We seem to have a little bit of technical difficulty. I'll be chatting to you again on Monday.